Hello, welcome to the Catholic Link podcast, the podcast for busy Catholics. I'm your host, Father George Elliott, and today I'm joined by Catherine DiNuzzo. Catherine is a licensed professional counselor who also operates Sacred Heart Mental Wellness. Catherine utilizes traditional cognitive behavioral counseling practices all through a Catholic lens. Catherine is faithful to the magisterium and operates her practice in that same manner. She's compiled her many years of counseling experiences and style into digestible, tangible, and easy-to-consume online resources for the Catholic who wants to live a mentally fit lifestyle. Catherine hopes that Sacred Heart Mental Wellness can help provide you with easy-to-use tools and techniques to achieve mental wellness in your life. Catherine and her husband, Dave, live in a small rural town in the middle of Kansas with their four amazing children. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
So, Catherine, you've done a ton of work with mental health, anxiety, depression, things of that sort. What do you think is the most important thing to tell a Catholic person who is struggling with anxiety?
That God made you good. And anxiety lies to you every day and says, you are not enough. You will never be enough. And we go into that lie so strong, feeling like there must be something wrong with me because I feel anxious today. And if I was only holier or stronger or smarter, or sometimes it's even taller or shorter or smarter or funnier. And, you know, anxiety just lies that there's always this one thing that if I just had, then I wouldn't feel this way. And I've spent my whole practice and really everything I've done in my professional life has been trying to fight the lie that anxiety is winning in our society today, that we are not enough and we never will be.
No, that's excellent. I've actually never heard that anxiety is fundamentally based in a lie, right? Which connects it so well into the Christian tradition and spirituality that, you know, all right, well, this is, you know, the father of lies is the one who wants to destroy our, mm-hmm. our lives, our relationship with God and all of these different things. And so, you know, I guess what are some techniques or some things that you have found are helpful to turn back that lie, to call out the truth and to live in that freedom?
Yes. And I have to go back just a little bit. I'm thinking about my teenage kids right now who are like, Mom, can you ever just answer a question? I'm like, no, I can't, because you got to have the background. So yes, you know, as we know that the devil is the master of lies. And I think when it comes to anxiety, I like to think about the lies of the evil one, kind of like water in your basement. So if you've ever owned a basement, all you want to do is keep the water out of the basement. And you put all these extra filth, like, you know, you put the rubber on it, you have the sealant, you do everything you can because you want to keep the water out of the basement. But as a person who's been married 20 years and I've had a couple of houses, the water always finds its way, but it doesn't find it in the ways that are big and easy to see. It finds the path of least resistance. And so when we think about anxiety, we have to realize that the evil one isn't tempting us to go rob a bank or to kill our neighbor. He's going to find those places that are our little place of weakness that we may have been putting all of this, you know, protective barriers around, but it's going to tempt us in these places. And that's why the how you are enough, it's so different for each person, for their own insecurity. It's that place where they are just a little more weak to those lies. And so the first thing that we have to do before we can do any other strategies is we have to believe in our hearts that we are created good in being created as children of God. And as Catholics, we know this so well. We do so good. Like if you ask any Catholic, they're like, yeah, God loves me. He created me. But they don't believe it. In our heart of hearts, in the darkness of night, when we're letting that belief that we are not enough kind of have fertile soil to grow, we don't actually believe that. And so one of the first things that I try to do in all of my resources is explain how God did make us amazing bodies and how if we can better understand how our bodies were created and how that fits with our anxiety, then we can go, oh, okay, Catherine, I believe you. Maybe I'm not crazy or weak. Maybe this is something that is a physical response to the wrong stimulus that I can work on. Because if I just believe I'm not good enough, very few strategies are going to work. When I can say, I know I don't feel like I'm enough. I know I'm being tempted to think that I'm not enough. If I can hold on to that and say, okay, Lord, I know you created me good. I know I am enough. Will you help me to believe it? Then I have strategies that will help us take us to the next level.
Mm, yeah. You know, that's it's interesting that you connected it back to a kind of really like insecurity, a lack of really believing that we ourselves are good or that we are enough in some way. I actually kind of, right, anxiety kind of came on the radar for me personally. It was a dentist. It was a dentist and he was like, Father, did you know that you grind your teeth? I was like, no, like I've never heard that. And he just kind of made this offhand comment. He's Christian, definitely a believer, but not Catholic. And he was like, well, you know, we have to cast our fears upon the Lord, or, you know, he who has faith does not fear. And my initial reaction was just kind of like, man, you're a dentist, like back off. Let me do the, you know, it's kind of like, who are you, you know, to say that to me. But what was interesting is it kind of started this whole process for me of, man, actually, you know what? Yeah. I'm recognizing all of these kind of, signs of anxiety within my body. Like, yeah, you know what? My shoulders do feel tense a lot. I can feel, you know, this kind of wear on my body and, you know, different other kind of like little ticks, you know, tapping or, you know, moving, things of that sort. And I realized, you know what? I think I do have some anxiety. And, you know, our Lord just kind of brought me through this whole process of realizing that, I was, very, well, not, I don't know if very is the right word, but I had an insecurity about, being a priest specifically because I was putting my value as a priest in the performance of my parish. That if the parish was going well, I was a good priest and I was good. I was worthy. I was all these enough, you know, all these things. And if it wasn't, then I wasn't, right. And I've heard in the past that, you know, for men, the anxiety tends to lean towards more like a performative sort of a thing that, you know, if we have some sort of insecurity about our goodness, it tends to be about, you know, can I do this? Am I enough in the sense of, can I carry the burden or, you know, do what I need to do? Whereas for women, it tends to be more targeted in the direction of, am I lovable? Am I chosen? Am I good? And so, you know, can you speak a little bit into those two areas that it seems people tend to be attracted towards in their own insecurities of, yeah, what are some ways to help with each of those?
Yeah. And I think you're 100% right. But again, I want to go just back a little bit because I think the root of what you're saying is where does people feel safe? Because anxiety, if you keep going down the journey, it's about safety and why your hands tick or your teeth grind is because your body is producing a hormone, cortisol and adrenaline that are getting you ready to either fight a bear or run from a bear. And so you don't feel safe for some reason. And your body, this animal part of your brain that keeps you alive, doesn't really know the difference between like, I'm actually seeing a bear or I feel like I'm seeing a bear. And so even as you look at this male, female, men feel safer when they're in charge and things are going well. And I am the protector and I have control over that protection, where women tend to feel safer when they're being protected and those things are around us. So like in those safeties. And so I think we have to look at those a little deeper to say, why is it that I don't feel safe? And when I say this, a lot of people will say, well, Catherine, I think you're that makes me feel crazy because I know I'm safe. Even in your example, you're saying, you know, I'm in my parish and I'm, you know, preaching and I'm not afraid of my own danger. But what our animal brain does, it takes it down a different path of like, well, if my parish isn't doing well, then maybe I'm not a good priest. And if I'm not a good priest, then who am I? And this is what I gave my life to. And then should I be doing something different? And did I even miss God's call? And then who am I? Like, the anxiety likes to go down this rabbit hole very, very quickly. I give an example for women a lot where, you know, I'm going to meet my mother-in-law and they're very nervous, but this is the first time I'm going to meet my mother-in-law. And I know she's a sweet woman, but why am I so anxious? Why am I feeling my heart rate and my stomach turn? And it's because anxiety will tell you, well, if your mother-in-law doesn't like you, then maybe your husband won't like you. And then your husband might leave you. And then you won't have any, you won't have husband, you won't have security, you won't have all these things that make us feel safe. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to die. Like, that's what's going to happen. She's not going to like me and I'm going to die. And then your thinking brain is like, that's not reasonable, but your body feels like it is. And so a lot of times when we're looking at ways of treating anxiety, it really is about, can I feel safe? Can I feel safe in this moment? How can I come and see that, you know, for your own example, I always think of, you know, the disciples. Some were very successful and some were not so much. And, you know, even Jesus had, you know, people that didn't listen and he didn't have as much success always, right? And so being able to see that, okay, I know my body feels that and I give kindness and compassion to my body fearing that unknown. And I have to go find Jesus and help him remind me that, you know, he left the 99 for the one and it doesn't always go the way that it I would like it to go, but that doesn't mean you're not doing exactly what I need you to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, is there any kind of method or anything of the sort that helps people to go to that, you know, you talked about like going to Jesus and kind of finding that security in him, or that safety in him. What are some of the things that you found to be like really helpful?
Well, I think the first thing that we have to understand is that there's two parts of our brains that work with anxiety. And so I talked about them a little, which is the animal brain, which keeps you alive. And then your thinking brain, which is the part that makes your big decisions. And those two are fighting when you're feeling anxious. And so what we have to do is realize that when we're feeling anxious, we have to calm that animal brain in a way that it understands, because we like to think that we can just tell our animal brain what to do. If I'm saying, just calm down. And it doesn't listen, right? It just doesn't listen because it doesn't understand that language. And so we have to kind of bring our mind to what is present. And so I give lots of examples in my book and in my podcast about how can you know, see what's in front of you, feel your chair, you know, those different ways. But I also think if we're going to talk about it in a faith way, the more you look at our Mass, as you look at our sacraments, they are inundated with our senses. And I use this as an example for people who are say, no, anxiety is this horrible thing that is just, it's, there's nothing good in me if I have this. And I'm like, no, God knew that we were going to be tempted in this world. And he gave us a church that does exactly what they say you should do to help your anxiety. You know, so you can be sitting in an adoration chapel and there's quiet and there's lights and there's smells of the burning candles. Sometimes you have incense. You know, there's so much at Mass. You have the bells, you have the oils, you have all these different things that we can use as Catholics to help ground ourselves and see, okay, when God created his church, he knew exactly what my body needed because he created this body in its challenges and in the things that it does well. And he knew all the things that we needed. They're already emplaced in our church. And so when I'm just speaking of more of that spiritual part of how do I know that God can be with me in my anxiety, then I'm able to say, okay, I can see that he created this whole church for my body and my needs to bring us closer to him.
Yeah. You know, you said there that God can be with me in my anxiety. I find just through spiritual direction and working with other people as well, that, you know, part of that animal brain kicks in and we begin to forget about God's presence with us. And so it's so neat that you kind of pulled that out that like, yeah, you know what? It's Christ entered into our sufferings. He entered into our loneliness. He entered into our fears. He entered into all of these different things. And really, when we begin to grasp that and feel it, right, beyond just the, like you talked about, the animal brain and the thinking brain, I find that helps so many different people to just increase in peace, right? I'm not going to say that anxiety and fear just completely goes away, because we're supposed to have that sometimes, right? Sometimes there are reasons to be afraid. It rights it, really, when Jesus Christ, who is the truth, enters into that fear, then those lies are cast out.
And we can remember that he wants to be there with us. See, again, I think that evil one says, well, if I was good, I wouldn't need him. Like, I should be able to do this on my own and just go to him later and say, look at how great I did. I didn't need you. I did it all by myself. And as a parent of teenagers, I feel like I have a much better bond with God's love for us, because I'm thinking, I could help you. Like, I do know things that you don't know. And when they actually come to me and say, hey, mom, like, what do you think about this? I think, oh, I'm so glad. And even one time, and I just think this is the most powerful thing when we're thinking about allowing God in. I have a 16-year-old, and she came to me one day and she said, mom, I've been thinking about something. She's like, I'm really independent. You know, I feel like I got it all figured out, and, you know, I can really do a lot on my own. And then I realized that you provide everything for me. So, like, I actually don't do anything on my own. I was like, yes, exactly. And
that's a huge win from a parent's point of view, though. I mean, you said she's still a teenager and she's realizing this. I think I was probably in my 20s before I realized that. So
absolutely. But it helps me to see, like, how God is with me. Cause I want to go up and say, look at, I did it. I did it all by myself. I got it. And he's like, did you really do that all by yourself? Okay. You know, how I see my teenager. But I also know how much in my heart I find great joy providing for her and guiding them and being in there. It actually is harder when I have to watch them struggle on their own and tell me they got it, they don't need me. When I'm like, you don't have to work so hard. I'm right here if you just welcome me in. And I feel like when we acknowledge that anxiety doesn't make us bad, it's easier to welcome Jesus into the journey with us of healing it and taking all those next steps.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I know you recently were on a podcast where you kind of talked about dealing with, anxiety and all of these things, specifically with kids, with children. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I was blessed with the opportunity to work for Catholic Sprouts and be their guest host for 5 days. So if you are wanting to start talking about mental wellness and understanding your feelings and the Catholic Church and how they all fit together, there's 5 episodes. They're each 5 to 8 minutes long, and go through the more of how our bodies work, how our feelings work, and how the church is there to help, all in a way that kids can understand.
Great. Excellent. And where can they find more of your materials?
So you can go to sacredheartmentalwellness.com. Again, that's sacredheartmentalwellness.com. And there I have a book called The Catholic Guide Through Anxiety. You can also find that on Amazon. And also on that website, I have a number of different podcasts I've been on. And if you're looking for anyone to come to your parish to train your staff, to work in your schools, I also travel and trying to really bring mental health and mental wellness out of the darkness and supporting everyone, especially the first responders, I call the ones who are the ones managing with a lot of people and need help, to know how to help all those who need help.
Excellent. This has been the Catholic Link podcast, the podcast for busy Catholics. I've been joined by Catherine DiNuzzo. I'm Father George Elliott. If you'd like to find more great shareable content by Catholics for Catholics, check out catholiclink.org. Thanks for joining, and God bless.